Okay, so today is Shkolim Daf Gimel. We will begin on the top of Daf Gimel with the next quote of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said that on the 15th of Adar, they were mesakin the drachim, they would fix the roads, the sarachovos and the streets, there's mikvos amayim, and the mikvos where they gather water. And then the Mishnah said, osin kol tzarchei rabim, and they would do all tzarchei rabim. They would do the public works, whatever needed to be done, they would do. The Gemara now quotes from a, I guess from a brisa in Moed Katan. The Gemara actually takes out the whole next piece, but what they're quoting is a Moed Katan, from Moed Katan are items that were allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. There's an Issur Malacha on Chol HaMoed, except for certain Heterim, which are very widely abused, except for these five Heterim, but these items were permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed. And there gives a list. Elul Hain Tzarchei Harabim. These are Tzarchei Harabim, which are done by Beis Din on Chol HaMoed. Number one is Dunedini Mamonos. They would deal with monetary matters. Vidini Nefashos, if they had a capital case. Vidini Makos, they had corporal cases. Upodin Arachim the Harabim the Agdeshos. And they were deemed if people made their donations, or they promised to make a donation of Erechim, Harabim, or Agdeshos. Umashkin Es HaSota. And if they were checking and had a case of a sota, they would still give her to drink on Chol HaMoed. The Sarfin is a para, and they would, if need be, they would burn the para aduma. The Arfin Egla Rufa, and if the case was that they needed to determine which city was responsible for an unknown murder, then they would break the neck of the Egla Rufa, who wrote in Eved Ivri, and they would pierce the ear of an Eved Ivri who wished to stay with his owner. Right, Umitarina Samatsora, basically you would clear the docket. Right, Umitarina Samatsora, and they would Mitar the Matsora. So here we have Mefarkin as Haminal, which means they would undo the lock that was on top of the water. I guess they would lock up certain water cisterns over the winter because they didn't need the water. They would gather over the winter, and then in the summertime, now that the summer's beginning, they would unlock them. The Ein Machzirin Oso. They wouldn't relock it. They would allow it to be open. There's other Gersos that say Mefarkin as ha Minal means something with the shoe. So with somebody would have to do something with chalitza. They would have something to do with chalitza. So, okay, all these things here are tzarchei rabim. Again, as to why they're considered tzarchei rabim, I'm not so sure. It could be that they just to clear up the docket, to make things done. All some of these things are not so pleasant, so maybe you want to finish the year and it's kloseha and start the year fresh. Okay, the Gemara took out the whole piece because he felt it wasn't necessary. Now, the Gemara asks, tamat tinyanon, it says over there, right, it says in the Mishnah over there, it's in the first parak of Maseches Moed Katan, the Gabe Chol HaMoed, it says, Mashkin Beis HaShulchan. You're allowed on Chol HaMoed to water the Beis HaShulchan. The Beis HaShulchan were the type of fields that needed constant watering. It wasn't sufficient, the rainwater wasn't sufficient to irrigate them. So you're allowed to water those fields. And the Mishnah there says, Umitzayanim alakvaros. And they're allowed to, you know, put the limestone on the graves. So the Gemara asks, why is that something that's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed? It's something that you were able to do beforehand. Our Mishnah said that we did that at the beginning of Adar. Lo kvar, we did it on the 15th of Adar. Lo kvar tziyonu me'adar. Didn't you not already, you know, mark off these graves on the 15th of Adar? So the Gemara says, v'tiptar, which I think means, and you can answer, she'yorod shatav shal geshamim u'shatavo. It happened that year. There was a big rainstorm. It does rain in Israel in Adar and even Nisan. So therefore, maybe that year there was a big rainstorm. If there's a big rainstorm, come back and Chol HaMoed, people are now going back and forth. So Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to. It's an important enough activity that's permitted on Chol HaMoed. And then the Mishnah Moed Katan also continued and said, the Yotzin af al hakilayim. You can also go back out and deal with the kilayim on Chol HaMoed. Where it says, the lo kvar yotzin me'adar. Didn't they already announce it and remove it? They announced it on Rosh Chodesh Adar and they removed it on Tezvav Adar. So what's going on? Why is it still there? So it says Kshahaita Hashana Afela. Could be that it was a late year. I mean, meaning that it was an early year, it was a dark year. Like the would be if you needed to make a second month of Adar, but it could be that it was early that year, so the things didn't sprout yet. So you're supposed to do it on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Nothing came about because it was early in the year, so they're doing it now on Chol HaMoed, right? Kshahaisa Hashana Afela, right? And ain't smachim nikarim, and all this is, it becomes mutter. So there's also in the Mishnah Moed Katan also says that they fix the roads on Chol HaMoed. We don't have that over here in our Girsa. It's supposed to fix the roads. So why are you allowed to fix the roads in Chol HaMoed? Didn't we already fix the roads? And Moed Katan says, because of the return. Because of the return trip. People went there on, and the roads were very heavily traveled to get to Yerushalayim. So they need to fix it in Chol HaMoed for the return trip. Mar Rav Moed Katan also says is that, why are you allowed to do all this on Chol HaMoed? Maybe you can wait a little bit, want to do it right now. So Mar says, well, it's cheap labor on Chol HaMoed for the Beis Din. Now, you don't want the government was looking to save money, as opposed to nowadays, the government, you know, they waste money, but the government was looking to save money. So all these workers weren't working on Chol HaMoed because they're not allowed to do malacha. So you had all this free, cheap labor. They would pick them up from, you know, Burnside Avenue. They picked them up, and they would, and then they would use them. They didn't have to pay them so much because the guys needed to work. They had nothing doing. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, Minayim Litzion, where is the source to teach us in the Torah, I guess, that this idea that you make these signs over the kvaros, right? Here we were talking about pouring lime on them. So it's a machlokas amoraim as where the source is. So there's also Gemara in Bava Basra. But here it says, Rabbi Berechia, who's a fourth generation Amora, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Bas Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov in the name of his grandfather, right? Bar Bas Yaakov. No, Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov. He's named after his grandfather. Maybe his father wasn't such a good guy. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Bas Yaakov, B'shem Rav Chunya Divras Chavirin. In the name of Chunya Divras Chavirin. So whenever, it seems to be in the Yerushalmi that they, when they give the list of the names, they'll give a list of names, they won't be B'shem. The last one they'll say B'shem, so you know that's the original source. So that's one, there are different sources here as to what's the chain of Masori here. That's number one. Or Rav Yosa Amrla, this is how Rav Yosa learned it, it's Rav Yaakov Bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Chunya Divras Chavirin, I guess that's where he's from. And Rabbi Chizkiah said that it's Rabbi Uziel Bered Rav Chunya Debes Chavirin b'shem Rabbi Chunya Debes. It's Rabbi Uziel Bered Rav Chunya Debes Chavirin b'shem Rav Chunya Debes Chavirin. He says the source is as follows. It says Tame Yikra. This is talking about the Mitzora. The pasuk says that you're supposed to call out Tame Yikra. So they're learning out that the Tame itself should call it out. Right. So the Mitzora should call out that he's Tame. It's to be done in a way that the tumah is actually calling itself out so everybody knows that there's tumah here and therefore you can separate. That's the first source. The second source, Rav Ilah b'shem Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, he says that the source is from here. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel is giving a nevuah about the mechama of Gog and Magog in the future. And that what happens is, it says, v'avru ha'ovrim ba'aretz, and they will pass through the land, v'ra'a etzem adam, and they'll see the bones of a person, u'bana etzlo tziyun, and they'll build around him a marking, b'na etzlo tziyun, akavru oso mekavrim, okay. So the etzem, so we learn a few things in this pasuk. Number one, etzem, the pasuk has the word etzem, mikan shemitzayinin alatzavos, that even bones, at a certain size, even bones need to be, you guard it against tumas. You make a marking against the bones. Adam, which says Adam mikan shemitzayinim al hashidra v'halgolgolis, that the shidra and the golgolis are mitame, even if they're not the appropriate size against mishnayos and taharos. Ubana means mikan shemitzayinim al gabe even kavua. You have to do a heavy stone that's going to be there, like a permanent stone, because imata omer im omer at. Al-Gabe Evan Telusha, because you're talking about like a light stone, that can be rolled and pushed away, right, and it's going to have the markings on it. So what's going to end up happening is it'll get kicked up, it'll roll somewhere else, somebody walking by will see that stone there, and think that there's Tumah underneath there, and if they walk over it or something like that, they'll assume that they were Tameh, and they'll end up burning Taharos that don't need to be burned, it'll be unnecessary. So therefore it has to be a heavy stationary stone that won't necessarily roll. Then it says etzlo. It says but not etzlo. It says etzlo l'makom tahara. What you do is you mark a little area around it as a buffer zone. You don't necessarily mark the actual. The tumah is right here. You mark it a little bit around it because you don't want. Oh, you walk right over it. Then your tumah is here. If accidentally you walk over the marking, you know a little buffer zone that you weren't going to. You weren't tameh. And l'makom tahara. And siyun is mikan l'tziyun. It says the word siyun to make a marking. That's where we ask the source. How do you know you must make a marking? So you hear from the pasuk in Yecheskel. Okay. Now the Gemara brings another brisa. So I think the vav gets knocked off here. The Yerusha takes out the word vav. So the case is matza even achas mitzuyenes. Right. So you find one stone that's marked with the line. Afo pi she'ein mekayim mekayim. Even though this is not the way you're supposed to do it. Right. It's the. What does that mean? Afo pi she'ein mekayim. Right. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be right there. Right? It's supposed to be a little bit away from the from the tumah underneath it. Right? It's not right to make the tzion exactly on the tumah. So you should say that if you're mahil on the stone, you should be okay in this case because the tumah shouldn't be underneath it. The tumah is supposed to be a little bit away from the stone. But here you're saying matzah even achas mitzianis afal pisha em yikayim in ba. You're not supposed to do that. Hamahil alea tamei. You're going to be, in this case, you're going to be tamei because ani omer meis mitzuyin v'hayin nosun tachteh. The problem is with one stone is not enough to cover the body. It's a small thing. So you would think that maybe you would be tamei. So you know, if you walked over the stone, they're going to say here, he's still going to be tamei because maybe it says here meis mitzuyin, they changed the girsa from mitzuyin to meis kamsutz. Sometimes they would say the body was folded or something like that, or maybe the body was decapitated and it wasn't necessarily the body was laid out. It's folded over, so even under one stone, theoretically there could be tumah. Then he says hayushtayim, if there are two stones, right, and there's a space in between them. So there's a stone over here, a stone over here, and there's a space in between them. Hamayil aleihen, if you walk over either of the stones, then you're tahar. Then you're going to be tahar because the idea is that the two stones that they're separated like that, they are marking off that between them is going to be the is where the body is. So if you're mahil of the stones, you're tahar. Ubeinayim tamei. But between them, you're going to be tamei. However, imhayachores b'insayim, if they were plowed between them, well, people don't plow where there is a grave. So hayachores b'insayim harehim ki yichidios. Then we view these stones not as mar, as a pair. We view them individually, right? Beinayim tahar. So in between them will be tahar. But around these stones will be tamei, but you assume that around these stones, that's where they're buried. That's where they're buried. Okay. Tani, you learned in Abraisa, Ein mitzayinin al habasar. We do not mark for the flesh. I think here it means don't mark on the flesh where it was, in order for flesh to be mitamei, it has to be a kezias. So we're talking about over here is you have a flesh that's really a small amount. It's just a kezias, or just a little bit more than a kezias. They say you don't have to mark over here because shema nit akel habasar, because and either with an ayin or an aleph, because maybe the meat will rot or the meat will be eaten away and the flesh will be eaten away and then it will no longer be there. So if you have this very small amount of flesh, there's no need to mark it because very shortly it's going to dissipate. And if you mark it, then people are going to assume that there is tumma over there. If they assume there's tumma over there and they walked over it, then stuff that shouldn't be tumma, they're going to think that it's tumma. So now Rav Yusta Bar Shunam Beikome. So Bar means that he's a resident of here. So Rav Yusta from Shunam Beikome asks Rabbi Mana, what do you say? Below Nimsa Metame Taharos? Below Nimsa Metame Taharos Lemafreya. What's going on here is that so why are you so concerned? Oh, maybe it'll disappear, and then stuff that was tahor, really tahor, you can see it's tamei. What about the person who actually walks here before before the meat rots and disappears? Then, so if it's not marked, he's going to walk over it. He's going to have no idea that he was really tamei, and now that's an avla now because he's going to think he's tahor, and he's going to bring stuff to the base of the mikdash. All these possibilities. So the answer is, I think the question is about it. The answer says, Amar Leh, so Ramana says back to Rav Yusta, Mutav sheyu kalkulu bo l'shah, ba'al yiskalkulu bo l'olam. It's better that, okay, you understand it. If we mark it, we have a problem. If we don't mark it, we have a problem. If we mark it, then our problem is going to be short-lived, because very quickly, the meat's going to rot. If we do mark it, then the problem is going to be perpetual because it's always going to be marked. So it's better if we're going to have a problem to choose to prevent a long-term problem than from preventing a short-term problem. But I'm just saying that. But I think just forget the long-term or short-term. What's the level of this of the issue? If you don't mark it and someone walks over it, they're tamei. They may now walk going. They walk into the base of Miglish and be chayiv kares. So where this Mar seems to hear is a Tosos Rabbi Paris in Moikat and Adate, who says that, you know, we take the risk because we focus more on the long term. We have to be focused and more concerned about the long term than the short term. He says that maybe in the short term, but how long is it going to take for the small amount of meat, the small amount of flesh to rot? And in the short term, people are going to know that it was buried there. It's just going to be in the long term where people might forget about it. But in the short term, people might know that, and they'll avoid it.
Are we talking about with flesh without bone?
Yes, just flesh. Flesh that came off the body. Yeah, flesh of the corpse. Just flesh, piece of flesh.
And no bones.
No bones. Right, just here, Amos Agal Apostle, just flesh.
So you bury a foreskin.
They do. I think the minhag is to bury the foreskin, but I don't know if that's going to be a metame because it's not coming off a dead body.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. My olos and taros and not the, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure you do bury the foreskin. What? Yeah? Okay, next Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So now, again, we're going back. The previous Mishnah said that on the 15th of Adar, the Beis Din would send out their Slichim to check if the Valasados got rid of the Kelayim. So now, what would they do on the 15th when these Slichim Beis Din went? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Barishona, it's going to be three stages. Originally, Okrin, Umashlichim Lifnayim. Originally, what they would do is we told you on the 1st and you didn't do it. We're here on the 15th. We're going to tear it out. We tear out the Kalayim and we throw it in front of the Bali Sadeh. The idea is to try to embarrass them, that everybody sees that the people are doing that. Then, Misherabu Obra Avera, but then when the sinners, perpetuated, when they're more sinners, so then, Hayu Mashlichim Ledrachim, they're going to rip it out and throw it on the roads. And then, Hiskinu Sheyu Mavkirin Eskola Sadeh. And afterwards, what they would do is say, forget about it. We're going to just mafkir the whole field, and this doesn't belong to you anymore. Based in hefker, based in hefker. So we'll deal with that. So now the Gemara says, let's go through the stages. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Tani, learn the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Barishona Hayo Okner Mashlichem Lifnehem. Initially, what they would do is they would rip off the Kelayim and throw it in front of them. And the Bala Bais was happy. Vayusmechem Shnei Smachos. They were happy two reasons. Number one, Achas Shahayinu Menachshem Shidoseyem. Free labor. Based in just came and tore out their Kelayim and had to pay for it. It was done for them. They weren't embarrassed. Right? And Akash are you nanim in a Kalayim. And number two, is they were able to get Hanar from the Kalayim because the Klei Hazara, Klei Zerayim, if you have seeds that are Kalayim, it's Mutter Bachil Harna. You're not allowed to keep it there, but it's allowed, permitted, but it's not Isra'na. So then they would take the Kalayim that the court ripped up for them, and they would feed it to their animals. They weren't embarrassed about the fact they didn't have Avera. So they said, great. So what did they do next? We Sherab over Avera. So when they became more, this became more prevalent, so Mashlichim al Adrachim. How you Mashlichim al Adrachim? So they would rip it out, but they wouldn't let you get benefit from it. They would just throw it onto the roads so other people would get it or get trampled on. But Alpha Beacon, how you Smechim? Nevertheless, they were still happy. They would say, Shayu Menachshon Sidoseyo, who got free. It was ripped up for free. We didn't have to pay for it. So what they do? So Iskinu Shemavkir and Kolos Hadekula. So Mikola Hefker, based in Hefker, that the court is allowed to declare somebody. They have the power to declare someone's property not their property anymore. So they did that. They were Mafkir, the mammon of these people, and then they went. They didn't have it. It wasn't theirs. They would rip it up, and anyone could come and take it. So everyone could come and take it. It wasn't theirs. They wouldn't have any benefit. So that's solved the issue. So now the Mishnah Gemara asks. Minayan Shehefker Basin Hefker. Where do we know? What is the source of the power that Basin has the power to declare somebody's personal property as Hefker? Minayan Shehefker Basin Hefker. Source number one is Diksiv, because the Pasuk says this is in Ezra. The Pasuk says, V'kol asher yavlo l'shloshesh hayomim, whoever doesn't come during the 3 days, ka'atzas hasorim v'azkenim, who, in accordance with the decree of the ministers and the elders, Yecharam kol rechusho, all his rechush, all his property will be put in chayim, will be taken from him, and he will be, removed. He will be removed. So the pasuk says, you don't listen to us, we're taking away your property. That's number one. And then the question, though, is, minayin shepetum min ha-maisros. The idea of hefker is something. If something's hefker, you don't take shumas ha-maisos. If there's something, hefker produce in the field, and I take it, I don't have to take shumas ha-maisos. How do you know that if Beis Din makes something hefker, it also no longer has the stat, it's real hefker, that it's parted from shumas ha-maisos? So Gemara says, Rabbi Yonasan braid Rabbi Yitzchak bar Acha. So this is Rabbi Yonasan braid Rabbi Yitzchak bar Acha's cameo appearance in Shas. This is it. It's the only place he's apparently mentioned. So this is Rabbi Yonasan Breid, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Acha, Shamallah. He says min hada. He made a diuk from the following. So there's a brisa. This is a brisa in Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Yud Beis in Sanhedrin. It says, Ein ma'abrim es hashana. We don't make a leap year during the Shemitah year, lo b'shvius. We don't make Shemitah any longer, because that's difficult for people. They can't plow, they can't do anything. So we don't make Shemitah a month longer. V'lo b'motzei shvius. And the eighth year also, which was the eighth year of the first year, the year after Shemitah, we also don't make, leap year. So the because Basin is making the power, Basin has the power to say that this month now belongs to the previous year. So if it's, in the case of Shemitah, the Basin has the power to extend Shemitah year. Food in the field in Shemitah is all Hefker, it's Pater from Trumas and Maisa. So Basin has the power now to extend this Hefker for another month. And he says, V'im Iburuha, we're not supposed to do it, but if they did it, Pesach's going to fall out in February. So if they did it anyway, so they were Ma'abr the month, the year, Harezem Uberes. It works, but together it works.
What's the problem with the year
after Shemitah? We'll get to it. Right? V'chi Chodesh Echad Shehu Mosif Pater. Now this extra month, that they're going to add on to Shemitah, is that not going to be Pater from Meiser? Of course it is. So you see, Hefker, when Basin has the power to do something that includes within it that it gets rid of the Meiser. So the Gemara says, okay, Ad Kedon Shvius. I understand why Basin should not extend the Shemitah year, because it's difficult to have another month, right? But Motzei Shvius, why can't they extend the next year, eighth year, the first year in the next cycle? So the word Mai is probably not here. Mai is a Bavli word. It's a transitional Bavli word, and Yerushalmi doesn't have these words. So Motzei Shvius, Amar Rabbi Bon says, Shelo l'rabos b'Isra Chadosh. Because if you extend the year, if you extend the eighth year by another month, you can have a problem with Chadosh. What happened? You didn't plant on the seventh year. You're planting all this stuff now. So you were somech on the produce in the sixth year. And now you're extending the eighth year. If Nisan's been pushed out another year, I can't bring the korban that doesn't come till Yudal Nisan. And all the Chadosh is still usher until I bring it. So you extended the Chadosh by a year. Okay. Not by a year. Chadosh by a month. Okay. But now the Gemara says that Bezman Azad, you can make the Shemitah or the following year into a leap year. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi El, says here Rabbi Lazar, other guys say Rabbi Lubahu. He says Chada da At Amar, that which you had said that you're not allowed to be Aber the seventh year or the following year. That's Ad Shelo Hitir Rabbi Levi Yerach Mechutz LaAretz LaAretz. That's only up to the point in time where Rabbi then permitted to you to bring produce from outside of Eretz Yisrael. The idea is you were concerned that you're not going to have enough food. Once Rebbe allowed to import, you didn't worry about the Tumas Amimim, you're allowed to import the food, then you don't have, it's not an issue. Aval Mishahitya Rebbe, Rahavi, Yerek, Michutzo Laretz, Laretz, once he allowed you to do that, he shviyas, he shall sharshne shua. The Shemitah is like any other year in the cycle, and also the following year, the end of the year in the cycle, because you're not going to be missing food. You're not going to be missing food, just import him. I believe, I'm not sure, not the previous Shemitah, but the Shemitah before that, I think it was also a leap year. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it happened in the recent past that it was a leap year, even though it was Shemitah. Okay. Tana, Ein Ma'abrin. Oh, there's another reason why you're allowed to do it. Tana Ein Ma'abrin. Amar Rabbi Mana, Hada Da'at Amart is Berishona Shai Yoshanim Kisiknon. Aval Achshav Shai Yoshanim Kisiknon He Shviz Hishar Neshua. Another reason why the Rabbanon have more latitude now is because Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh is the Rabbanon. Why Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh the Rabbanon? Because we lost count. We don't know what the Yovel is. Why don't we have the Yovel? We don't know the Yovel because we don't necessarily have Rov, most of Klal Yisrael live in Eretz Yisrael, which may be shifting. But so Yovel is the Rabbanon, so Shemitah is the Rabbanon, and once it's the Rabbanon, we have more latitude. So they have more latitude, you're allowed. So Tana, right? Tana shall base Rama Gamliel Ibruha b'motzei shviyas miyad. So there was a brisa that said that immediately Rabbi Gamliel once immediately following the end of Shemitah, he knew where they were, I guess, in the cycle, and he made it a leap year right away. Even though he made a leap year right away, because he said you're allowed to bring produce back. Chutz Laretz. The idea here is now you see from here that they didn't answer when it came to in the beginning. They said that the first reason with the eighth year is you had to be concerned about Chadash. Right? So you see, concerned about Chadash, bringing in from Chutz Laretz doesn't help you when it comes to Chadash, because Chadash is also applicable in Chutz Laretz. Yeah, so see, it's a source over here. Okay, Ami Rabbi Avun. Rabbi Avun said, so again, now we're going back. What we went back before was this was the source of Hefker, Basin, Hefker, that Rabbi Yonason said was that because by the fact that even if they made the Shemitah extended a month, therefore they're allowed to do that, and that creates a hefker, and that creates a ptur in Meiser, because that's not your source, that can't be your source for hefker based on hefker, because that's a different reason, because that's being done on a deoraisa level. Amar Rabbi Bon, in Mehendah, if that's the reason, less atchmois mene klum, you can't learn anything from there, because the pasuk says shamor is from the shaviv, shomreyu sheyaviyu b'chidusho. We all know the halach is that one of the names of Pesach is Chag HaAviv. It has to be in the springtime. That's to deoraisa, right? We have to, the solar calendar, the lunar calendar don't match up. Every couple of years, if you don't match up, Pesach is going to be still in the wintertime, like next year. You have to make a leap year. That's done mideoraisa. You have to make that into you have to, base. It's not the head of Hefker, Basin, Hefker. Basin has the obligation mideoraisa at certain times to extend the year to make sure that Pesach matches up with the solar seasons. If that's the case, it's not the head of Hefker, Basin, Hefker. Basin means Hefker, and then the Shemitah is extended. No, Basin is doing it because they have to. And all the ramifications that come therefore from that are on a deoraisa level. It's not a question of hefker based in hefker. Okay. So now the Gemara goes back. He says, okay, I'll give you another source. I don't know where to go. Another source. We already have the source from Ezra. We just rejected the source about the fact that if they ma'abra the year of the Shemitah year, we rejected that. And I have another source. The Haide Amar Da, Another source is yet the following. This is in the first, it's Perek Hei Mishnah Aleph of Peah. It says, Gadish Shelo Lukot Tachtov Kol HaNogos Ba'aretz Harehen Shelanien. Basically what you had is you had leket that was left in the field, and that's supposed to be taken by the Aniyim. Before the Aniyim came, what this guy did is he piled all his non-Matnos Aniyim on top of it. So now you have no idea which belongs to the Ani, which doesn't. So the idea is they made a rule that anything that's any of the wheat, I guess, that's touching the ground, whether it's leket or not leket, belongs to the Aniyim. That belongs to them, right? Gedish shelo luka tachtov kol hanogos baretz harehen shel Aniyim. Right, so you have a pile of the wheat, anything that's not touching the ground goes to the poor. Amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, he says, the Beis Shammai. He says, no, this goes according to Beis Shammai. Why? Because the Mishnah here is saying that anything that's left on the ground becomes hefker, and only the aniyim can take it. Meaning, you're mafker something only for a certain subset of people. But that's the shita Beis Shammai. The Beis Hillel aniyim ochlin maasrin. According to Beis Hillel, the aniyim would, if they take it, they would still have to take off meiser on it. You don't have a chi of meiser on matnas aniyim, but here they would, because some of the stuff may not be matnas aniyim. According to Beis Hillel, you can't mafker something only for a certain subgroup. So it's not hefker, and if they took it, they would have to take off meiser. But then Amalei Rav Yosi Shemanu Shu Pater Meiser Divrei Kol Mishum Kenasi. No. Even Beis Hillel will agree here that everyone is Pater, because it becomes because the Kenas that the Beis Din was Kones, the owner, to say that all of his produce that touches the ground is now hefker to everybody because you violated and didn't allow the Aniyim to pick it up Mishum Kenasa, and therefore the Aniyim will pick it up a Pater from Meiser. You see that once you have hefker Beis Din hefker, it's a true hefker that prevents the chiyuv of Meiser from being chal. Okay. Next, halacha. They call it halacha gimel, right? Halacha gimel. So now, right, we're machriz on the first of Adar to bring the Masas of Shekel, right? Dover Shkol, right? The Sefer Shkol, bring the Masas of Shekel. Now what happens? So, b'chamisha asar bo, so you're machriz on the first. On the 15th, shulchanos hayu yoshim medina. They would sit. The money changers would sit in the Medina. The money changers would sit and be prepared. Whole machlokas of what they're doing. So some say the money changers were there. So you had to put it on a machzor to shekel. So people didn't necessarily have the right coinage. So they would change. They would change the money. Or if you're in Chutz La'aretz, so you had different currencies. It has to be in shekels and you have dollars. So they would be currency changers. Others would say that they're just the collectors. They just sat there, and they're the collectors to come. People are coming and dropping off the money. So on the 15th, they would shulchanos hayoshim b'Medina. Now. Be esrim v'chamisha. Now, on the 25th day of Adar, which is basically 4 days before Rosh Chodesh, yashu v'mikdash. They would sit in Yerushalayim, which is the Makom Mikdash, to tell everybody it's time's coming close, right? Misha yashu v'mikdash, and from the 25th and on, when they said the mikdash, hischilu v'mashkein. If you didn't pay up, they had the power to go take collateral from you. They would hischilu v'mashkein. They would take collateral. And they would force you to imagine, you know, you don't pay your membership, they go to your house and they grab your car. Shul membership. So he says, Esmim Mashkinan. So who do they take collateral from? if they don't give the master shekel. So first says from Leviim, you take it from Leviim. The chiddush here is that the Leviim are not putter, that they're chayav master shekel. The Yisraelim, and from a regular Yisrael, the Gerim, and the Gerim also have to give, right? Because it says v'kuli shumer is kolish, all men, right? The avadim shukrarim, and freed slaves. Avalo nashim v'avadim uktanim, not from women. Not from Avadim, Warren Fried, and Ketanim. Here we're talking about Ketanim, even though they reached the age of maturity, but up to the age of 20, they're considered Ketanim, because the Master Shekel, it says, Kol ha'uver al pekudim, mi ben esrim shana v'mala, yitain shumas Hashem. So you have to be 20 and older. So you see from here, that, so you see that women and Ketanim, and they don't have to, they can't collateral from them. Reason being is because they may not be chayiv in giving the Master Shekel. So there's a whole bruaha now that comes about from a Rekiva Eger. So Akiva Eger says, he says, V'lechora nashim peturos mitilas musaf. Women should be putter from davening musaf. Kevan din nashim lo hayu shoklos, because there was no chiyuv to take the masa shekel from the women, right? Therefore, ein lahem chelek bekarbonos tzibor. Therefore, they have no port. What was this money used? This money was used for the korban tzibor, right? What's korban musaf? It's a korban tzibor. So since the women don't donate to this appeal, they don't donate. They don't have a piece in the korban sibor. They don't have to dab a musaf because the musaf is keneged the korban sibor, the musaf. So that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says. Correct. So there's a whole to do over here. But Sweet Mesa Frank in the Mekroi Kodesh also says, what about someone under? We're not mocking us or that. Someone under 20 maybe should be the sibor for musaf until he's 20. And Steifler gives an answer. Steifler doesn't like it. One answer he gives, and the same answer that the Mekroi Kodesh gives is that, okay, granted that they may not be chayiv to give it, but they get kapara, right? They're getting kapara from it because there's a Gemara that says that there's no such thing as a machsheves psul of shinui bailim by a korban sibor. Having the wrong intent by the korban tamid or by the korban musaf, I'm going to be makriv it for the different owner. Well, and there's no such thing for that. So the stipler points out, why not? If women aren't part of it, then you could have intent, and I'm makir of the korban musaf for women. No, they're still part of the kapara. If they're still part of the kapara, then they're still included in what the korban accomplishes, so to under 20. And therefore, okay, great, so maybe it's separate. They're not chayiv to give, but they're still included. Plenty of people go give things, and they still get the benefit from it. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, the kol katan shehiskil aviv lishkol al yado, any katan, which means somebody, again, was under 20 years old, that the father started to give, right, gave anyway, shuvein oposik, he can't stop. Machlokas, what does that mean? That means the father can't stop? But that means once the father gave to the 14-year-old, then he has to give when he's 15, 16, 17, because then the father has to give. Who's the chiyuvan? All right, not for me anymore, until the father passes away. Does the boy now have to give for the next couple of years until he reaches 20? If you see the chiyuv is on the father, then the boy's out. If you see the chiyuv puts on the son, then he still has to give. Okay. Now the Gemara Mishnah says here, ein mamshkinin es kohanim. We don't take collateral from the kohanim mipnei darkei shalom because of the ways of the peace. Could be because the kohanim were hot tempered, so you know we'll leave them alone. We're not going to take. We don't want to start up too much of a ruckus, so we're not going to be mashkinim from the kohanim. Or maybe it's because they're not chayef. Because you'll see in a moment that the kohanim thought that they had no obligation to give the masses a shekel. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was made by for chacham of Ben Bukhri. Ben Bukhri is an older, earlier Tana, but Yavne, who was in Yavne, called Kohen Sheshokel. So Ben Bukhri says, any Kohen who gives the Master Sheshokel, ain't no chotip. There's no Isser. Meaning he doesn't have to, but if he gives, there's no problem. Right? That's what Ben Bukhri says. Amr lo Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says to Ben Bukhri, lo ki, no, you're wrong, ela kol Kohen Sheshokel, ain't no shokel, chotip. No. The Kohen is obligated to give. And if he doesn't give, he's a sinner. He has to give. Ella, but the reason why the Kohanim gave us a hard time is the Kohanim made their own drasha, which was wrong, but the Kohanim made this drasha. Ella Kohanim Dorshim Mikra Zela Atzman. They would Dorish a Pasuk for their own benefit as follows. Its Pasuk says, right, V'chol Minchas Kohen Kalil Tiyeh Lo Teachel. As opposed to a Korban Mincha that's brought by Yisrael, which is part of it is actually eaten, the korban mincha of a kohen is kul kolil. It's all burnt on the mizbeach. There's no part that gets eaten. So the minchas kohen is completely burnt. Is completely burnt on the mizbeach. So that's why the kohanim felt that they were putter from masses of shekel. Because if you would bring If you would if they would bring a Masa Shekel, so then they would be partners in the money, and a Korban Mincha of a Tzibor, which theoretically is supposed to be eaten, is now that's not supposed to be eaten because now the Kohanim have a piece in it. Again, they're missing the point, is that once you donate it into the Tzibor, it becomes part of the corporate entity of Klal Yisrael. It's not individually owned by anybody. It's an entity of Klal Yisrael, so it doesn't take on the characteristics of a carbon of a Kohen. Right, so, Ho Yo Omer Rishdei Lechem HaPanim Shalonu Heim Heyach Necholim. That's what we just said. The Kohanim said that, listen, you have the Shtei Lechem, the Lechem HaPanim, which are brought from the monies of the Tzibor, and they're eaten. But if we give the money, how can they be eaten? The carbonus of the Kohen, they shouldn't be eaten. So that's not wrong. That Russia was wrong, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because when they give the money, again, it goes into the corporate entity. It doesn't maintain any individual ownership on any part of the carbon. Okay. And the Mishnah then says, the Gemara, it said, Ein mamshkinen esakatanim. Those under 20, we don't take collateral against them because they're not obligated to bring it. So he says, halitvoa tovin. It's daka that we don't take a mashkon against them. He says, but they're chayev to bring halitvoa tovim. I'm not sure why they're chayev, they're under 20. All right. Chata de tamar, right? So that which we say that they're chayev, here's the answer, is kishahevi shtei saros. So they're chayev to bring if they're a gadol, right? So there's a chayev, I think it's a chayev de rabbanon. From maturity, which is 13 to 20, there's a chiyuv de rabbanan. So if they bring, we take it, but we're not going to take collateral from them. Aval im lo hevi shtei saros lo bada. If they're not mature, if not 13 at all, they don't bring it all. And then ulu mashkin ein mashkinim, and we don't take a mashkin there. Afal pi shehevi shtei saros. Again, that's the same thing. The Gra takes this out. Basically, there are three levels. There's three levels. They're putter under 13. From 13 to 20. 13 to 20, there's a chiyuv de rabbanon, but we don't take collateral from them. 20 and above, like everybody else, they take collateral. Okay. Now the Gemara says, it says, Keni Masnisa, to explain the Mishnah, says, Ein Mamshkinas HaKohanim Pei Derech HaKavod. We said in our Mishnah that we don't take collateral from the Kohanim because of Darkei Shalom. Here it says because Darkei Kavod. Because of Kavod from the Kohanim, you're not going to, the ones who are dealing with the Karbanos, we're not going to take collateral from them. The Mishnah said, Darkei Shalom, could be because we get into a fight, because the Kohanim had this drasha, so we're not going to take collateral off of them, let's leave it to their own devices to bring it, but here it says because of Darkei HaKavod. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda, now this is going back to this whole thing about the drasha that the Kohanim made. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Heyi, right, Ben Bukhri made the takant, was testified in Yavna, that Ben Bukhri says that if a Kohen donates, he's not a sinner, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that no, if he doesn't donate, he is a sinner. So what's the reason for Rabbi Yochanan? So Amar Rabbi Brechia, time of the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, what's the reason for Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who says that the Kohen is obligated to give Machzis Shekel? The Pasuk says, Zeyitnu, Kol Vel B'Kudim, right, Machzis Shekel, B'Shekel HaKodesh, so it says, Zeyitnu, Ze is B'Marshia 12, 7 and 5 is 12, so it says, Ze, Shneimasar Shvatim Yitnu, from all 12 tribes. Zeyitnu means all 12 tribes, 12. So that includes the Kohanim. Okay. So basically now we have a few shitos, right? We have the shita of Ben Bukhri, that they're not chayiv, but if they want to, they can give. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says they are chayiv, and the Kohanim themselves said that they don't have to give. Okay. So Rav Tavi, now here, I'm not so sure about the Shakla Vitaria. I don't know where the question begins or ends somewhat. So Rav Tavi b'shem Rav Hamnuna, Rav Tavi said the name Rav Hamnuna, Cain meshivin chachamim the Rabbi Yehuda. The chachamim responded to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who said that they're not necessarily we don't take mashkon from them. It said he said to him, "Why are you taking him? Chatos yachid mesa, the ain chatos sibor mesa, minchas hayachid kreva kolil, the ain minchas sibor kreva kolil." Just like by the chatos hayachid, right? The idea is if you have a korban chatos, right, and the owner dies, right? Then the chatos has to die, right? There are five chatos mesos. Five times the korban chatos would have to be left to die. One of them being if the owner dies. So chatos yachid mesa ain't chatos sibor mesa. There's no such thing as a tzibor dying. So if there was a public, like whatever, a chatos that was supposed to be brought by the tzibor, problem dovish on tzibor, then it doesn't matter. That's always important. There's no such thing. And there's no such thing as the owner dying. And minchas yachid kriva kalil, the mincha of a yachid is is the mincha b'yachid can be burnt completely. The ein mincha tzibur krei b'kalyo, but the mincha brought for the tzibur is not burnt completely. Again, the same argument as the kohanim. And so, if the kohanim give the money to the treasury, then they're going to have a part in the mincha tzibur. How can it be eaten? It's supposed to be burnt. So the kasha. So I guess now he says. The kasha, this is kasha, meshivan adam davar she'en amodebo, she'en chas tzibur meisam, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Thomas. He says, somehow, I don't know how it works, he said, how can you ask on Rabbi Yehuda about chatos tzibur not dying? He holds that chatos tzibur is mesa. I don't know how you have a situation where you have a chatos tzibur mesa. Okay, it's fine. So, v'hu mosivla. So, Rabbi Yehuda answers the chachamim, lo nidvas yachid hi, v'inun mesivnan le, kevan shenimsur l'tzibur, Kimishu Nidvas Sibor. Same thing we answered. Don't give me this whole idea that it becomes the carbon of a Kohen if they're part of the donation. It's not a minchas of a Yachid anymore. It becomes a minchas of a Tzibor. It becomes part of the whole klal, right? He says, Lo Nidvas Yachidi. It's not the donation of an individual. The Inun Mesivun La. And they said back, Kevan Shin Nimser of the Tzibor. Once it's brought over to the Tzibor, Kimishu Hu Nidvas Sibor. So it's like the Tzibor donated it, and that's why. Okay. So now the Mishnah Gemara says, Ksiv. The pasuk says, "Kola over al pekudim." Right, the full pasuk says, "Yitnu kola over al pekudim, master shekel, shekel kodesh, eshrim geyar shekel, max shekel tumul Hashem, kola over al pekudim." So, what does it mean, "kola over al pekudim"? Beis mishnah of Amala, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Nechemia, they say from "kola over al pekudim," "chad amar kol da aver biyama." It means everybody who walked through the dry land when the sea split would have to pay. Right, so that would mean woman, yitain. That's everybody. That's woman. That's kohanim. That's leviim. That should be everybody. The Charana Amar, and the other man, the Amar says, called the other al pigdunya yitain, whoever was counted. Who was counted were the males 20 years and older, not including Shevet Levi. So this, according to that, then Leviim would also be butter, which is problematic because our Mishnah said that we take collateral from the Leviim. Okay. So man, the Amar called the other biyama yitain, the one who says whoever walks through the Yamsuf has to give, that would include Kohanim Leviim, Misailer of Yochanan and Zakkai. That supports of Yochanan and Zakkai, who said that the Kohanim didn't give, they're sinners. And man, the Amar called the other al-Pigdunit yitain, and the one who says that called the other means whoever was counted in the census, that Kohanim, so that's a support to Ben Bukhari, that support to Ben Bukhari says the Kohanim don't have to give, because the Kohanim Leviim weren't counted in the census. Okay, let's do the first half of this Mishnah, so we get to the end of the Amud, and we'll pick up tomorrow with the second half of that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says now, going back to Nashim, Avadim, Gatanim, Afo Pisha Amru, even though we just said in the previous Mishnah, Eimam Shkinim, Nashim, Avadim, Gatanim, we don't take collateral from women, servants, slaves, and Gatanim, about Im Shaklu, Mekalim, Yadon. If they would donate, you know, we don't turn away the donations. If they're given, we don't turn it away. But Hanachri Vakusi Sheshaku Imakamlan. But if a non-Jew or a Kusi, again the Samaritans, the Kusim, if they gave, we do not accept from them. Because the Pasuk says, Umiyad ben Nechar lo takrivos lechem elokechem, we call Elo, so Imakablam. The Imakablam miyadam kine zavin, bikine zavos, bikine yolodos, chatos vashamos. And we don't accept from the non-Jews, we don't accept from them if they want to bring these bird offerings for if they became a zav, burnt offerings that they gave birth. We don't accept them any chatos, any ashamos, any obligatory obligations. That's what the Mishnah says. Zeh klal kol shenidar v'nidav mikam miyodan. Any karban that is a voluntary offering, we do accept from the non-Jews. But kol she'enu nidav v'nidav, but if it's an obligatory offering that they're trying to bring, a mikam mehen. We don't accept that. V'chei meforesh like the Ezra, and that's why it's explicit when it comes to Ezra, because when in Ezra, when the Kusim heard that Bnei Yisrael were building the Beis HaMikdash, they turned to him and they wanted to help. Right? They said, Nivnei Machem, we'll build with you. And Ezra says back to them, Shenemar, Pasuk says, Yom Lem Zerubav of Yeshu, Usharu She'avos Yisrael, Lo Lachem Vilano Livnos Beis Lelokeinu. It's not for you to join us to build the Beis Hashem Elokeinu. You see from here that we're not going to accept from them things Lebedek HaBayis. I guess the Bedek HaBayis here was an obligatory for everybody to donate and give money to build the Beis HaMikdash. So you got Korban, so you see from there that they don't have, sorry, they're still talking about Korban Tzibor. So you see from here that things that are public works or things that belong to the Tzibor, just like the Shkalim, they don't accept from them, so too we not accept from the donations. Just like we did not accept from them donations to build the Beis HaMikdash, because that's something that's incumbent upon the Tzibor to do, so too we're not going to accept from them if they want to give Shkalim, because that's a communal obligation, and they're not part of the community. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up in the middle of the Mishnah tomorrow morning. Everybody have a great day.